I'm John Batchelor with my good colleagues, Hussaina Khani and Bill Raja, and we're looking at what we know so far of a 10-point plan presented by the ambassador to the UN from the United States, Mr. Walz, at the direction of the President of the United States, and it's said to be take it or leave it. That's a negotiating position. So I set that aside for the moment and ask the ambassador to comment on Cairo, Amman, Damascus, and I suppose we should include Doha. They all go in different directions. Do they want a resolution in Gaza, those four capitals, or do they like it the way it is in turmoil, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, the Middle East is never very transparent in that sense, so we will never know what anybody actually wants. But the bottom line still is that the plan is too vague, yet none of these countries are going to turn it down. They will all say yes, but, and that's how it's going to happen. And Bill Rogers said earlier that Hamas is not reconciled to Israel. Let's be very honest. Israel's current leadership is not reconciled to a Palestinian state emerging at any time in the future as well. So therefore, it is more or less two irreconcilable parties being reconciled. And whenever that happens, it's always only superficial.
You're thinking...
Can I weigh in there really quick?
Sure.
Look, the Israelis can change their government. Who can change Hamas in
absolutely.
The
absolutely.
They were given control 20 plus years ago, and Hamas yeah. took control by force and hasn't had an election since. So, this is where perhaps Netanyahu still wants war. But if the Israelis truly want a deal, if they're truly open to this, they can change their government. It's impossible with Hamas when they are the ones holding the arms in Gaza.
So, Mr. Ambassador, does it suit Ankara? Does it suit Cairo for the status quo of a ruin with people wandering around picking over garbage?
None of them say that, and none of them is going to acknowledge that. And they would certainly want things to change. But the conditions for that change may not necessarily be the ones that the President of the United States and his team seems to imagine. But none of them have any feel for what is the reality on the ground. The Egyptians know Gaza a lot better than the president and his team. The Turks may not know Gaza, but they know what they want in Gaza towards the end. The Qataris, who are the principal backers of Hamas, also know that they do not want the elimination of Hamas. They might promise that Hamas will not have any role there, but there will be many, many, many slips between the cup and the lip here.
Bill, looking at Afghanistan again, I know it's not as small as Gaza, but it's a crude version of the challenge here. The surrounding capitals, I'm thinking of Delhi and Islamabad and Tehran, did they want peace in Afghanistan, or did the turmoil suit them to have a neighbor that is draining resources from our adversaries and not costing us anything?
Yeah, look, I think the Russians, the Chinese, certainly, and again, they're going to, if you want to get this passed through the UN Security Council, you're going to need them on board. They have veto power. I think it suits them just fine for the conflict to occur. Keep in mind, the Chinese, they always have their eye on Taiwan. The more the U.S. is providing air defense missiles, this thing goes with Russia and its war in Ukraine, air defense missiles, resources, political and diplomatic efforts that are looking at the Middle East and securing Israel, the more beneficial it is to countries like Russia and China. I think the Turks, who are hostile to Israel, are happy to see this conflict continue. Countries like Saudi Arabia and Egypt, they'd like to see this problem go away. I think that the bulk of the Middle East is tired of this problem, and they've seen the effects of it blowing over. You had missiles exchanged, you had shipping attack. The Egyptians lost billions of dollars during the Houthi blockade, and they're still losing money because the Suez Canal is being bypassed in many instances. The Saudis have been attacked by the Houthis, et cetera, et cetera. So it depends on the country, but the big partners, or should be partners, Russia and China, they'd love to see this conflict continue.
Mr. Ambassador, Europe, looking over the capitals of Europe, they're self-interested, of course. Do they find a resolution to be attractive, or do they like the status quo of a ruin?
Nobody likes the status quo of the ruin. I think that's a very wrong formulation of the problem. The solution that is being offered is not the solution that people find practical. So that, I think, is how we should look at it. I think more work needs to be done on figuring out how anything can actually be done rather than just, look, give children in a kindergarten crayons and they will make the ideal world for you on a piece of paper. That has no bearing on what things are in the world. So what my point is not that the capitals in Europe or the capitals in the Middle East want there to be ruins in Gaza. Yet the solution that is being offered is a bit of a fantasy, and people in both Europe and the rest of the world understand it a lot better than people in Washington do right now.
A hypothetical, 10 years from now, is Gaza rebuilt, or are we looking at ruins that will be overgrown with the desert?
No, people always manage to rebuild their lives somehow. Syria was a ruin. Out of that ruin has been born, a rejuvenated, revived Al-Qaeda figure as the instrument of peace in the eyes of the president. He's probably meeting the president of the United States very soon. So ruins don't always last. I think that at some point, some solution will be found. What is that solution? We will all have to wait. It will have to include two elements. One, some promise to the Palestinians of what will come for them in the future. And second, a complete assurance to Israel that groups like Hamas, who are bent on destroying it, do not continue to be armed and active.
Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. Bill Rajo, senior fellow for the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. He keeps the Long War Journal, where you will see his colleagues report very carefully on Gaza Strip.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.